Do you want to try something a little bit different this month?
I'm game for whatever. What you got?
First, I need you to take this allergy medication.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you. Hang on. Let me just. All right. Wash
Okay.
that
All right.
down.
You've been immunized because I know it's May.
It sure is.
This month we're doing anime.
Wait, what?
This is Christmas Creeps anime.
Oh my God. Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas. Woohoo! Greetings, holiday shoppers. There are now X number of days left until Christmas, and I think you know what that means when we were so intentionally vague. That means it's time for another episode of Christmas Creeps Stocking Stuffer Edition, where we look at smaller format media like television shows or web specials, things like that, and talk about them. Maybe not quite as deep of a dive as we talk about movies on this show, but we're glad to have you here. And since it's anime, we are going to be talking about a little show called Agretzko. Here with me tonight is my lovely host, Joseph Wade. How are you doing today, Joe?
I'm girding my loins for the worst.
Oh,
I'm happy to be here, Brad.
it's not so bad, friend. Actually, I knew that you, how do I best put this? You don't care as much as some people about the Japanese animation arts, if you will put it. So I tried to ease you in a little bit with something very accessible, may not be the right word, but something that's available on Netflix. Tonight we watched Agretzko, We Wish You a Metal Christmas.
I have, yes, you're right. I have an extreme aversion to animation, not of the Western variety. Also, I'll put it that way. But no, this was, I think this was a good choice to start off with because it's a little bit familiar territory as far as the music goes, because this is kind of sort of halfway my jam, but also this is a little bit similar to some of the other Netflix shows that you and I are a fan of. Particularly another new Netflix show that just premiered. I kind of saw some similarities to Brad. You might be able to talk more about Tuco and Birdie since you've seen more of it than I have.
I was actually, if we were going to do our normal lead-in, I was going to say, I apologize for talking about Tuca and Birdie as much as I'm going to talk about on this episode. But yes, so let's start it off for the uninitiated. Agretzko is a Sanrio property, which is the mascot character company most well known for Hello Kitty.
Yes.
Believe it or not, this is all part of the same company. Other ones, Karopi, My Melody, what have you. But Agretzko is another cartoon animal. She is a red panda who lives in Tokyo, and she hates her job, and she has a secret private life where she sings metal. That's kind of the basics, but in addition to that, there are so many similarities between this and other Netflix shows. This is bankrolled by Netflix, which is interesting because you have all of these Netflix originals that everybody knows about. I could rattle off the most well-known ones, but you probably already know about it if you haven't been living under a rock for the
I
last
mean,
10
it kind
years.
of begins and ends with Stranger Things for most people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Stranger Things is probably the most well-known. Other ones like
House of Cards,
BoJack Horseman,
BoJack
Santa
Horseman.
Clarita Diet, a bunch of documentary series. But anyways,
Netflix has become kind of your one-stop shop for comedy specials. Like they have taken Comedy Central's game and just like ruined it.
absolutely have eaten their lunch.
Yes.
So what a lot of people don't know about Netflix originals is that they have originals in other countries as well that they sort of fund. And one of those countries where they fund a lot of television or original programming is in Japan. The interesting thing about a lot of the quote unquote Netflix originals in Japan is that they often also get terrestrial releases. You see this with things like Terrace House and High Score Girl. But there are a number of other anime series that, Netflix has sort of produced or, you know, paid up front in order to have the, streaming rights to. And Agretzko is one of those. And Agretzko, I believe, did not get a terrestrial release. I think mostly for its format, because it's like short 15-minute episodes, which may be hard to fit into like a 30-minute block unless you double them up.
It kind of struck me like not so much the style of animation, but the look of the production kind of reminded me of like really high end Flash animation. So I got the impression this might have started on the internet and then was ported over to TV.
And you'd be exactly right. I believe there were a number of smaller sort of specials done in that vein. Sort of like a webtoon, or maybe those got a terrestrial release, just like, you know, little snippets. Again, I might be wrong because I only glanced at the Wikipedia page. So if you know if Agretzko got a terrestrial release, definitely let us know. But anyways,
podcasting at its finest, glancing at Wikipedia,
not checking any of our sources. Podcasting at the finest. No, I have other sources. I just didn't find that interesting whether or not it got to terrestrial release.
No, I'm sure you've heard before that I have another podcast where my co-host and I just read Wikipedia at each other for an hour. So
nothing wrong with that. Sometimes you just want a good Wikipedia on tape, man.
Sometimes you need facts and you don't know where else to go.
There has to be a podcast where somebody just hits the random article page on Wikipedia and just reads it, right?
Oh, there has to be. I've actually thought about before starting a podcast where a text-to-speech program just reads a random Wikipedia article each week.
It would be very easy to automate. You could even make it a daily release and set a threshold so you don't get like a, you know, 5-sentence summary of some rural county in like the UK or something like that.
Yeah, or you don't wind up with a 3-hour episode about the American Civil War.
Well, yeah, I guess it's been done better by people that are actually researching and reading in that case. But that's neither here nor there. So
yeah, that's a completely different topic for another day.
The show that is on the tip of our tongue is actually two shows, really. This is a show all about anthropomorphic animal people living an urban life, a modern urban lifestyle. And you see that in two other Netflix originals, BoJack Horseman and the recently released, fresh out of the oven, Tuca and Birdie, which actually, as at the time of this recording, released 2 days ago. And I, for this episode, I watched all of Agretzko, but during that, I was also watching, I've watched about half of Tuca and Birdie, and I think a lot of my thoughts about Agretzko are going to be colored by also watching Tuca and Birdie during it.
There are some surprising similarities, believe it or not.
Female lead.
Mm-hmm.
Is one of them. Sort of company politics is another one.
Kind of your typical sort of millennial women living in the city kind of story.
Yes. Come to find out, not as much female empowerment in Agretzko as there is in Tuca and Birdie, but we can get into that. Agretzko has her own sort of empowerment, I guess you could say. We can get into the plot synopsis really quick. I'll do that for you.
Mm-hmm.
So Agretzko, as I mentioned, is about a red panda working at a company. She works in the accounting department of a trading firm in what we can assume is Tokyo, because they have the same Metro logo, so probably supposed to be Tokyo. They also reference districts in Tokyo at some points. So like BoJack in LA, this sort of has an equivalent. Tuca and Birdie is set in Bird Town, I believe, or Bird City. So a little more vague there. But anyways, she works in the accounting department with a cast of characters, most noteworthy of which is probably her boss, who she hates, Director Tone, who is a pig, who often, you know, foists off work on Agretzko and is pretty misogynistic and makes her make him tea and bring him tea and what have you, and not a great situation.
There's a really terrible line, I think, in the first episode where he says something along the lines of, like, the incompetent women are so much better than the competent women.
Yes. Yeah, that really sums up Tone in a nutshell. a nutshell. Rounding out the accounting department, there is Agretzko's friend Fenneco, who's a fennec fox. There's Haida, who is a hyena. He comes into play strongly in the Christmas special. I believe there is Tsubone, who's a Komodo dragon, who's kind of Agretzko's direct superior. And there are a couple of other characters, like there's the meerkat, who's always sucking up to Tone. And then there's also, Tsunoda.
It's, and I'm assuming a lot of the names are like adapted from the Japanese words for those animals.
You'd be right about that. So pretty much most of them are at least some sort of pun a couple of times removed. Interestingly yeah. enough, Agretzko is not, other than, not Agretzko, Retzko, I think I've been calling her Agretzko the entire time.
You have.
Retzko, sorry. actually, the Japanese title of the show is Aggressive Retzko, and they just sort of Pokemon style shortened it. It rolls right. off the tongue a little better. Anyways, Retzko, excuse me. Retzko is probably the farthest removed from any sort of animal-based name pun. Because the name for a red panda in Japanese, fun fact, is lesser panda. So it just shares the first the first syllable there. There is another red panda in this series, which I don't think you got to. I don't think you got to this character. His name is Risasuke.
Okay. Yeah, I did watch the first couple episodes and then jump straight to the Christmas special.
Oh, first couple episodes. Look at you, you go-getter.
I know. Well, when I found out they were 15 minutes, I said, well, we can dip in a little further.
Well, it's like little anime bits of popcorn. Yeah. Dip in, dip out, whenever you want.
The kernels are stuck in my teeth now, and I can't get them out.
That's how it works. I believe that's a Miyazaki quote, actually. So, the kernels get stuck in your teeth, and you can't get them out. Anime was a mistake. All right. Where was I? So that rounds out the accounting department.
Yeah.
Speaking of female empowerment, there are two higher-ups in the company who Retzko comes to befriend. Oh, by the way, spoiler alert for Agretzko if you're planning on watching it. There's not this a whole is, yeah, lot of plot movement.
It's a fairly like recent series, by the way. Like, it just came out like last year, right?
I think it came out in like October or November of 2018, and then they dropped the Christmas special like a month later, which right. I'm sure okay. was all part of the same production run, which sure. we'll get into in just a second. And it's Director Gori, aka the best character on the show, and Secretary Washimi. Gori's a gorilla. Washimi is supposed to be a pheasant or a peacock. She would be a peahen.
A peahen, yeah, that's the impression I got.
Yeah. Very fancy looking bird, I guess, is all I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. Those are sort of our dramatis personae. There are a couple of other, there's like the CEO of the company, and then there's a temporary love interest named Risasuke, which is probably the best arc in the show, honestly, as far as character development goes. It's like two episodes, but, other than there's like a 5-second joke where he appears in the Christmas special. But other than that, you don't really see him. Okay, I think that covers about everybody. There's also a hippo lady who's like supposed to be the middle-aged gossip, but I don't remember her name at the moment.
I don't either, but I did just shudder the moment I saw this character because I know people like that, and it was the worst.
That's supposed to be the whole thing. It's relatable. I get it.
No, I get that. I Yay. Get it, but it doesn't mean I still can't shudder at like the character.
Absolutely.
Because
absolutely.
Good lord. I do have right. enough of that at work.
So that gives you the general arcing overview of Agretzko, the series, season one. But we're talking about the Christmas special, Agretzko, We Wish You a Metal Christmas. Again, like I noted, not a lot of anime series have Christmas specials, but I think the interesting thing with Netflix bankrolling a lot of these series is that you get these requirements, or I guess strong suggestions. You see this in a couple other Netflix series like Neo Yokio Pink Christmas, which I don't know if we're going to talk about, on this anime, so maybe look forward to that later. But we get one off Christmas series of anime special or anime, you know, anime series, which is kind of a rare sight. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Again, spoiler alerts, because this picks up at the end of where season one of Agretzko sort of drops off. In fact, this special has sort of it feels almost like a British Christmas special in that it takes place between seasons and has canonical plot developments and just kind of happens to take place over Christmas or be about Christmas.
Yeah, you know I sort of liken. Yeah, I sort of liken this to the Office Christmas special that we watched about a month ago. It's very similar in format.
Absolutely. Okay, so at the end of season one, this is your last spoiler alert. Haida becomes injured, and he's been kind of crushing on Retzko the entire first season, or a good portion of it.
Right.
And he finally works up the courage to ask her out on a date. She turns him down, quite politely, because she just got out of a long-term relationship, or sort of long-term relationship with Rasasuke, and isn't really feeling it.
Right.
Haida's kind of traumatized by this for the pretty much the rest of the episode. Whereas during this episode, Retzko has become absorbed in Instagram. And interestingly enough, it's not an Instagram sort of lookalike. They just talk about Instagram pretty much the entire episode.
Yeah, there's even like a subtle, not even a subtle dig. They just straight up like look at the camera and say, "Man, Instagram's not going to be happy about this episode."
Yeah, yeah, nice little fourth wall break there, which I always appreciate. So the broad strokes of it is, towards the end of the first season, Retzko has come to sort of appreciate and get a little bit closer to Tsunoda, the deer who kind of sucks up intentionally to director Tan, and you know, it turns out that she knows full well what she's doing and you know, is pretty self-aware about all of it, but has sort of taken Retzko under her wing in order to become somewhat of a minor Instagram celebrity and try to get as many likes as possible.
Yeah, so and like this episode, this special like drops some serious like advice for how to post like proper Instagram like food porn.
Yes.
Like
it's, yeah.
I was surprised that like some like the actual like tips that she drops like actually make sense, and they're you could apply those to your real world Instagram posting if you really wanted to.
It's a good little tutorial and it's kind of fun. Besides that central conflict, Retzko is worried about not having something to do on Christmas Eve. Because I don't know if we've ever talked about this on this show. Christmas is a little bit different in Japan, as you might imagine, and it's largely seen as a sort of a holiday for couples, or at least Christmas Eve is.
Okay.
It is considered, you know, to be a romantic holiday evening to spend with either loved ones or friends. So very much in the same sort of spirit. But especially for young people, it's seen as a night to go out on a date, you know, go see the pretty lights, go somewhere romantic, spend some time. And if you are single, you know, spend it either commiserating or in the good company of friends. And, you know, pretty similar, even though they don't place as high of an importance on Christmas over there. I don't believe that many firms give people Christmas Day off or Christmas Eve, but there you have it. So Retzko is largely concerned with her public appearance on Instagram on Christmas Eve. She wants to have a perfect Christmas, but all of her plans are falling through. Meanwhile, Haida is essentially desperate to, you know, more or less try again with Retzko and ask her, you know, for an evening out or at least to come to a party with friends. And, you know, you can tell he's still a bit shaken by the previous refusal, and you know, he's given Retzko some time. I believe the end of the first series is sometime in the late spring, I want to say, and this takes us all the way forward to to Christmas. So it has been almost a year at this point. And you know, he's trying to work up the wherewithal to try again. Okay.
Yeah, so I made a mistake, I think, then, because I what I should have done was I should have watched, like, the first episode, and honestly, I should have watched the whole season, but I should have watched the first episode and then, I guess, the last episode before the special, because the special does drop you kind of straight into sort of the plot of the season, basically.
Yes, and I had I realized that, I probably would have switched it up. I think I originally told you just watch the first episode to get your bearings and then watch the special. Because I didn't know that it was going to be canonical like that.
Okay. You did warn me about this, and I missed it. I apologize.
It's okay. It's my bad. Plus, I was under no delusions that anybody except me was going to watch the first season. Even though it's a brisk first season, I think it's about 2.5 hours long if you add up all the episodes.
Yeah, it's like 10 episodes, 15 minutes each, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, that is the central conflict of the episode. All of the other animals sort of have their own plans with friends and or family, except for Fenneco, who's kind of a loner, who just ends up going to Haida's sort of Christmas get-together with some of his other punk culture friends, I guess.
It doesn't even seem like a real get-together, because it's just the two of them at the bar stalking Retsuko on Instagram.
Yes. So, to fast forward a little bit through the plot, even though this is only a 20-minute episode, Director Tan comes in at the last moment of Christmas Eve and foists all of this work upon Retsuko. And it's a good little visual gag, because he's dressed up as Santa and drops a giant pile of paperwork on her desk.
Yeah, and his reindeer are like
the meerkat suck-up.
His two lackeys, yeah. Or just the one lackey, you know, cop replicated toy.
Yes.
It's a weird sight.
It's good. So Retsuko has to stay and do this paperwork, mostly because she's the last person to leave, because she doesn't, you know, have any plans, and is sort of stewing over the fact that she hasn't found anything to do. But she gets this paperwork, you know, sort of placed on her lap, and she decides, well, I'm going to make the best of it. And she goes and searches for, you know, romantic dinners for one on Christmas Eve. meanwhile, Haida and Fenneco are at the bar, and Haida is drinking away his feelings, when come to find out that Retsuko has posted on Instagram a nice-looking dinner, and there are two wine glasses. However, Fenneco, ever the internet cop, I believe she actually uses the term. I watched the sub. I'm sure. Did you watch the dub or the sub?
I watched the dub.
No, I think that's better. I was actually going to watch it over again with the dub, but I didn't have enough time because I figured you watched the dub. Let me just say, this is the official Christmas Creeps party line on subs versus dubs, because I'm probably the only person on the show that has an opinion about it. They're just as equally valid. They're just as equally good. Sometimes I actually prefer the dub to the sub, because it's nice to be able to, you know, not have to constantly pay attention to the text at the bottom of the screen. There you have it.
Here's a while we're talking about this, let me ask you this question. How you feel about this?
Okay.
When Studio Ghibli films come out in the U.S., that's the studio that typically has enough wherewithal to actually get, like, real name like, Hollywood talent to do voiceover work for these movies.
Mm-hmm.
Are those considered as valid? Because, you know, they'll come over to the U.S. and all of a sudden we've got a Miyazaki film where Patrick Stewart is playing a main character. Is that considered valid?
I mean, this is just one man's opinion, but I love the Disney Ghibli dubs. Like, they're the gold standard for dubs. Are you kidding me? Like,
okay.
They're great. The only problem that I have is when, like, with Arrietty, I believe it was, where they change up the ending.
Oh, yeah.
When they change the actual story, the actual beats of the story for a different audience, that's when I start to have a little bit of a problem.
Okay, yeah, that I can understand that, certainly.
And I'm not trying to go into the full, like, oh, they edited out the vagina bones for Western sensibilities. No, it's like, I get that sort of thing. That puts us more in line with our previous podcasts, topic material, so we're not even going to touch on that. Just don't get any illusions that I'm that sort of like, oh, they sanitized it for Western, you know, Western audiences sort of guy. No.
Brad, you have no idea how much I want you to go back and explain, but we need to move on.
I can do a quick aside. I can wrap it up in 30 seconds.
Do it. Do it.
This goes into video game chat. Okay. Wow. Oh, wow. Okay. I've already wasted half my time saying wow. There was a game for the Wii U called Tokyo Mirage Sessions FE, which was a crossover of Shin Megami Tensei and Fire Emblem, and one of the primary characters had a revealing outfit where her hip bones were showing, and I guess they like photoshopped them out for the Western release, and a bunch of weebs got up in arms about how they edited out her quote unquote vagina bones.
Oh God.
Good. Yep. Yeah. I'm just trying to separate myself from that sort of like, don't think I'm like a censored gaming, like, creepazoid who, you know, imports Dead or Alive, Extreme Beach Volleyball, whatever. Anyways,
just understand that you cannot say the phrase vagina bones without me having to say, no, Brad, explain this.
Yeah, I definitely that required a backup. So, all right,
thank you.
Let's move on. Let's take jump up two levels back to what we were actually talking about. The dubs, the Studio Ghibli dubs, mm-hmm. are very good. And again, back to my point. Dub is atrocious, it really, they're just as equally valid as subs.
Then anyways. Again, I suppose those are the exception rather than the rule, so there's that.
They are, and a lot of dubs have not great voice acting, but I've found that they've gotten a lot better since, like, the 90s, so okay. take with it what you will. Anyways.
Fair enough.
To each his own. I'm a simple man. I work hard. I play hard. And when it comes to anime, I prefer subs over dubs.
Thanks, Twitter.
Okay. We love you. All right. Back up one more level. Feneko calls herself an Instagram cop and uses that exact phrasing. Mm-hmm. And being an Instagram cop, she changes the contrast on the photo that Retsuko has taken and finds that she's still in her work uniform, and then the wine glasses that she used are the cheap plastic kind that you snap together. Right. So, she has gotten all of this food from a convenience store and has staged a photo using the tips that Tsunoda has given her. And it's a good-looking photo, but that sort of bolsters Haida enough that he runs out of the bar with assumedly not paying his tab to go to her. But he comes to find the office empty when he arrives, and Retsuko has been rescued by Director Gori and Secretary Washimi, who take her to a standing soba noodle bar, which is probably pretty good when it's cold because they don't even
have chairs, Brad.
I know, because it's supposed to be fast. Look. When you have limited floor space, chairs take up a lot of room.
Okay, that's fair.
And this is sort of the turning point of the episode because Retsuko realizes, no, just, you know, you can mug for Instagram all you want with fancy food and stuff like that, but when it comes to Christmas and pretty much life in general, it's more important to have close friends who you can share a warm meal with. And mm-hmm. she does post the pictures of the cheap noodles on Instagram to no likes, I believe.
It wasn't even a picture of the cheap noodles. It was a picture of the empty bowl.
I think there's one before and one after, actually.
Okay.
Because I think she posts like dinner part two and Feneko smiles because it's a cheap bowl of soba that the chef has put his thumb into. And then after that, she posts the empty bowl. Mm-hmm. And Haida is sort of running through the city looking for her because he assumes, maybe she's alone, eating these noodles, but he finds her by happenstance coming out with Gori and Washimi, and sort of is standing dumbstruck across the street, and Gori and Washimi read the situation and, leave them to it, and Haida sees Retsuko to the station and they wave goodbye, and he is summarily incredibly relieved that, you know, she's not snubbing him on a date with somebody else.
Right.
And that's the end of the Christmas special.
And then smash cut to credits, and then smash cut to me saying, that is not the end of the episode.
It was the end of the episode.
Because I, against my better judgment, I got invested, and I was ready for the end of the story, and then...
Aww. See, that's how they get you. Now you're going to have to watch season 2 of Agretzka, which is coming in 2019, according to Netflix. So a little something to look forward to. It's sort of a The Office, Pam and Jim, will they, won't they situation now, isn't it?
It sure is, and I can't wait for the American version so they can finesse it properly.
I don't know that you're going to get an American version, but...
Well, okay, so we've kind of papered over, not even papered over, we just straight up ignored it, the tangential aspect of this special and this series, which is that Retzko's sort of her release valve, her stress release valve, is that she takes a microphone with her to work so that she can go hide in the bathroom and scream death metal to get the anger out. And then at night she goes to a karaoke bar, which she doesn't really do in this one, but she goes to a karaoke bar to do death metal solo in a room all by herself.
Yes. Actually, for I was going to touch on this, for a special with the title, We Wish You a Metal Christmas, there's not very much metal at all compared to the rest of the series. In fact, it's mostly punk, because it's punk with Haida over it.
Yeah, because that's Haida's scene, is like the punk stuff, but we don't get a whole lot of actual metal here, do we?
No, we don't. So it's a bit of a misleading title. I understand why they went with it, but
it's still a better title.
It is a better title, and that is the other sort of element to Agretzko. In fact, some might argue the main element to the story of Agretzko is that Retzko has this sort of secret inner life where she, you know, she hates her job. That it comes to the fore a little bit more, but, and, you know, it gets aggravated with people quite easily, or, you know, but pens, you know, has all this anger sort of build up and then releases it in the evening on her way home from work at a karaoke bar, where she has a couple of songs and a couple things she has to say, and does so in sort of a death metal
thing. In this one, she has her scene where she screams a song about how she wants lightning to strike down all three of her bosses.
Yes. It's good.
It's very good.
Yeah, we didn't touch on that, but that's sort of a central tenet of the character. In fact, Retzko's name, the character, you may see it when she's singing metal, the first character of her name, Retsu, appears on her forehead, and that sort of, I think they translated as rage, which is
they did.
A decent enough translation. Some other translations would be like ardor and fervent. Excuse me, geez. I'm just pulling up something here. So that character, when combined with the characters that make it an adjective, would be violent, furious, tempestuous, extreme, intense, fierce, strong, fervent, vehement, incessant, relentless, precipitous, and steep, which I think are all fitting descriptors of metal. So I think that's a good enough name.
And also all fairly good descriptors of Retzko as a character, at least her inner personality.
Yeah, and that, I think that has a lot to do with, that's a big thing. And
because the other aspect of the show is very much like keep putting on a polite face for the rest of, you know, your coworkers and society and things like that, and then getting in your own personal time, kind of letting loose to be yourself.
Right, and it gets a little bit into, I don't want to dig too deep into it because I'm not an expert on it, but it gets into the concept of, you know, face and putting up an appearance in polite society that is not a reflection of your inner life, which is sort of a very big element of a lot of, at least, you know, traditional Eastern Asian and Japanese mores. So
right, and I'm glad we have you here to sort of navigate that for us, because I would absolutely be lost, and it would be lost on me.
Right, and this is, this taken to an extreme.
Right.
But it's very much sort of a thing. There's a line that Retzko says, I believe, in the first episode. She says, like, in 10 seconds, I'm going to be, you know, a model citizen. And she counts to 10 and puts it all back inside the box to be released later. So she's a fun character. And probably one of the darker characters of the Sanrio sort of.
Really?
Menagerie, if you will.
I don't know all that much about Sanrio outside of, like, what Hello Kitty is, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
There are some other ones that have, like, darker storylines, but Retzko is definitely one of the more aggressive, if you will, characters. Aha, there you have it.
There it is.
So, yeah.
So I guess, yeah, the last thing we have to do here, for the stocking stuffers, if you're not familiar, we don't grade these on the X, Y axis that we do in our regular shows. We ask a very simple question. Would you put this on at a Christmas party in your sort of regular holiday TV rotation? Would you either watch this on your own? I guess that's two questions. Would you watch this on your own, or would you put this on at a Christmas party? I feel like this would play well at a Christmas party. I might say yes. I'm going to say yes.
You have honestly shocked me, Joseph Wade.
I didn't hate it. Like I honestly didn't hate anything about it. Really, it's just it's fun. It's the animation is really nice, and there's just the really odd musical interludes that are just kind of perfect. So
it's fun. It's good.
Yeah,
and it's
not too, and it's not too deep. You know,
it's definitely not too deep. It's fun. That's interesting, because actually you've shocked me by saying yes, because I'm going to shock you by saying no.
Oh my.
And it's really has a lot to do more with it. You have to, it depends a lot on the crowd at the Christmas party, but there's enough to this show as far as continuity that if you put it on in a Christmas party and nobody knows what the hell's going on, I mean, in the background, I'm sure it would be fine. But if people are actually, like, sitting down to watch Christmas specials, most people would be a little bit lost.
Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe. I think I'm underestimating
it also,
people. I think it's easy enough to follow, but...
It also depends on the kind of party you're throwing, too.
Well, that's the
because
big thing.
If it's a big party and there's lots of people and lots of stuff going on, this is going to be, like background noise. And, you know, it's pretty and fun background noise. And that's kind of all it really needs to be. But then if you're going to sit down and pay attention to it, like, there's actually still a story involved that you can follow.
Using that metric, then, I think maybe I would add it to a Christmas play, you know, Christmas special playlist just for some variety.
Yeah. Like, sandwich it in between, like, Garfield and...
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or something.
There you go, yeah.
We need to... Maybe this year we should really come up with... Do you remember back in the early aughts when people would actually, like, create their own television stations and live stream them over the internet, where they would just...
Oh, yeah.
They had all of their pirated, you know, MPEGs that they would link together to create kind of a sort of rough approximation of a live television channel. I feel like we need to do that this year. I feel like we need to take it back to, like, 2007 and do that. And just...
I also feel like we've talked about this before. And at some point, we're just going to have to do it.
We really do have to do it. And I think this year is going to be the year, maybe.
Yeah, we've got enough lead time ahead of us, so we can probably work that out. We can probably work out the logistics and files.
It can't be too hard in this day and age. You could probably run it off of a laptop if you needed to.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. Anyway, so there you have it.
That's a
positive... positive response on Agretzko. We wish you a Metal Christmas.
You know, I'm not like I know I have this reputation among you guys that, like, I must hate anime or something. Like, I'm not. I just don't. It's not my thing. I don't watch it. So dipping my toe into it, like, okay, I can see the appeal, and I'm here for it.
You got invested in the romance aspect too. Come on in.
I did. I
the
really did.
Fine. Jump in this ocean with us. Well,
the water is fine, but there's also sharks in the water.
There are definitely sharks in these waters, let me tell you. But that's we're not done here. We are about to jump into this ocean for the remainder of May. And we're so glad you're here to join us. Thank you for listening in on this little experiment of ours.
Yeah, we have at least two more episodes to bring you this month for anime. So we hope you'll stick around for that.
Yes.
And as always, if you have questions or comments or recommendations for future episodes, you can get those to us a few different ways. You can email us at xmascreeps@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at @ChristmasCreeps on Twitter. Or hey, leave a star rating and a review on iTunes or Stitcher or YouTube. Wherever you're listening to this podcast, you know, leave a rating and tell people this is a show we're listening to, if that's what you think. Mm-hmm. We have been having a great time doing this show for, you know, almost 5 years now, and we don't see any signs of slowing down anytime soon. So hop on the bandwagon now, and we're going to take you through all the way to Christmas.
Yes, indeed.
So for Christmas Creeps, I am Joseph Wade.
And I'm Bradford.
Wishing you a happy Cinco de Mayo as we record this. Good night, everybody.
Happy Christmas. Happy Christmas. Yeah.
Lupin and the gang decided to spend a white Christmas in New York. Then, a jewelry store owner challenged them and said,
I will broadcast live if you steal from my store. What do you say?
What an unbelievable challenge! I wonder what will happen.
Next time on Christmas Creeps, Stocking Stuff for Episode 17, Lupin the Third, Christmas at Tiffany's.